Hello, it's me, Robbie V, and I'm back. Hola, yo soy Robbie V. Y aquí estoy otra vez. Welcome to the Let's Speak English audio experience. I'm here today with a very special guest. Wow, tengo una invitada muy especial. Laura, how are you, Laura?
I'm good. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm really good, just loving life. So for those of you out there who don't know who Laura is, Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I teach Spanish in beautiful Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands, and most of my students are from everywhere in the world, but especially the UK or America. So they come from an English background and they learn Spanish. And that's why I wanted to do this this collaboration with you. I wanted to talk with you about false friends, because my students, they always get confused with English words that when they translate to Spanish, they sound wrong, or Spanish word that when they translate to English sound terrible. So how about
yeah.
we do this together?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And it's funny because I imagine that these false friends work both ways. So they're mistakes exactly. that Spanish speakers would make in English as well.
Exactly. Yes.
Just before we get into it, y esto me parece muy interesante, ¿hay una edad media de tus alumnos o son como gente jubilada o es gente que porque en Reino Unido yo creo que es muy común jubilarse en Canarias. Yo creo que hay muchos sí. británicos que quieren terminar
la playita.
Yeah. Yeah, son como de una edad un poco mayor o hay de todo.
Hay de todo. Mis estudiantes son normalmente, digamos, entre los 25 y 45 años, pero también hay algunos más jóvenes. También tenemos niños.
Qué
y
guay.
Algunas personas mayores también. Mi mayor alumno, 70 y pico.
Wow.
Ahora ya no sé cuántos años tendrá, pero cuando estudió con nosotros, 71. Entonces,
Y mucha gente dice que los españoles en general tienen dificultad en aprender inglés. Siempre me hacen la misma pregunta. Robbie, ¿por qué es tan difícil aprender inglés? ¿Por qué los españoles no pueden llegar a un nivel alto de inglés? Yo no estoy de acuerdo.
Phonetically, ¿no? Fonéticamente es muy complicado, ¿eh?
Ya.
Es muy complicado y no hay. Yo también enseñé inglés en el pasado y la lengua no tiene como una consistencia de sonidos, ¿no? Tienes que aprender todos los sonidos casi independientemente, hay algunas reglas, pero es complicado, ¿eh? I call them secret sounds. Cuando enseño a mis estudiantes, yo digo, el español no tiene sonidos secretos, sonidos diferentes de lo que tú ves escrito, ¿no? In Spanish, you get, no, the pronunciation is what you see.
Yeah, it's basically you say the word how it's written.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't really know if I like agree. I think it's a stereotype because I have so many students that speak English at a very high level. I think you're an example as well.
But, I've seen.
Yeah, and I think you're a good example as well as a Spanish person who speaks English at a high level. But
thank you.
Do British or let's say English speakers, do English speakers generally have issues or problems learning Spanish? Because one thing that I would say that English speakers aren't famous for, would be learning other languages. We're probably a little bit lazy because English is our first language and English is the international language. So maybe we're a bit lazy in that respect. Do you see that they have difficulty learning Spanish?
Absolutely, yes. And you explained the main reason why. It's because they don't need it. They can travel worldwide just using English to communicate with everybody they meet, no?
Yeah.
So I find that also most English speakers, like worldwide, also Americans, they don't know the grammar. Because you guys don't learn grammar at school. You learn
our own grammar. Well, our own grammar. Yeah, we don't learn our own grammar. Yeah, not.
So you don't know what a substantive is or what an adjective does.
Yeah.
So it makes it a bit harder.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible to learn languages without knowing the grammar. Basically, sure. That's what we do also in La Casita de Laura. We try to teach in a more conversational way, but some grammar, some structure es necesario. Es necesario.
Sí, 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 es fundamental, sí. And, ¿qué te iba a decir? Ah, yo cuando llegué a España, yo no sabía nada de español, pero ni papa. Nothing,
mi
cero.
Papá.
No. Hola, encantado. Hola, encantado. Entonces, yo puedo empatizar con mis alumnos, puedo empatizar con otras personas que están aprendiendo un idioma, porque lo he hecho, o todavía lo estoy haciendo. Mi pregunta es, ¿qué es la cosa más bonita de aprender un idioma para ti? Porque para mí fue algo muy, I don't know how to say it, empowering. Como que algo que me abrió como una parte de mi mente y me dio mucha confianza, conseguí mucha confianza a través del aprendizaje del español. En plan, joder, si lo puedo hacer. Si puedo expresarme en otro idioma, puedo hacer bromas en otro idioma, puedo conectar con personas de una cultura diferente en otro idioma. Y para mí fue una cosa muy bonita.
Yo tengo una pregunta. ¿Tú eres el mismo Robbie B en español que en inglés o no te sientes...?
No, es como otra identidad.
Exacto.
Es otra identidad.
¿Es tu versión actualizada? Modernizada,
sí.
Diferente,
sí.
Eres tú, pero con un estilo, una manera de entender el mundo
sí.
diferente, ¿no? Porque cuando aprendemos una lengua extranjera, una lengua que no es la nuestra, vemos el mundo de otra manera, se nos
sí.
abren ventanas, puertas. Es como, sí, de repente ver un libro y estaba en otro idioma y entender toda esa realidad. Es fascinante, a mí me apasionan los idiomas. Yo
es
hablo
muy bonito.
Unos cuantos idiomas.
Sí, ¿cuántos?
Bueno, pues inglés, francés, un poquito, italiano, porque mi novio es italiano, entiendo un poquito de alemán, he estudiado un poco de checo, húngaro, chino y ahora estoy con swahili.
¡Wow! Polyglot.
No todavía, pero lo intento, estamos
wow.
ahí. Entonces, sí, estoy de acuerdo contigo que aprender un idioma nuevo te abre mil posibilidades, te permite conocer a gente que de otra manera con la que no podrías comunicar y te permite a lo mejor incluso trabajar en otro país, ¿no? Yo
Sí.
por ejemplo, trabajé en Toronto durante 3 años.
Sí.
No habría sido posible si no hubiera aprendido a hablar inglés, por ejemplo.
Sí. Yo creo que es una de las cosas más bonitas del mundo. Y me encanta lo que has dicho sobre la otra identidad, que es como, es verdad. Mis amigos, claro, porque yo grabo muchos vídeos, estoy bastante activo en las redes sociales y todos mis amigos me ven en las redes sociales.
Claro.
Y en mis vídeos hablo bastante español, entonces mis amigos me ven y dicen, joder, es como otra persona, es que no eres tú, eres tú, pero es como otra persona. Y además, la voz cambia, es como otra voz también.
Sí.
Qué guay.
Mi novio me dice que en inglés sueno profesional, en español soy yo, la Laura que él conoció, y que en italiano soy súper tierna.
Qué guay, qué guay, me encanta.
Sí.
All right, so... Let's get down to business. You sent me a list yesterday, or the other day. Let's
yes.
check it out. So we've got the first false friend on your list is realizar. Now, you would think that realizar, pues, es que se parece mogollón a realize. Pero no es el caso, ¿verdad?
No, es darse cuenta. Darse cuenta, realize.
To realize is darse cuenta. So what's realizar in English?
Carry out, make something.
To do something, to make
implement
something.
Implement some activity or project.
Yeah. I like that phrasal verb that you said, to carry out an activity. Very good. So vamos a realizar una prueba a nivel. We're going to carry out a level test. Really good. And then realize in English, darse cuenta. Hay que tener cuidado. Really good. So, for example, vamos a traducir una frase. We could say this one. No me di cuenta de que te habías cortado el pelo. Tell me in English.
Okay. I didn't realize you had cut your hair or you had got a haircut, depending Amazing. If you do it or somebody does it for you.
That's true. Oh, my God. Because to cut your hair would be if you do it yourself.
I do it myself. So.
Do you?
Yes.
You do a good job.
Thank you.
And then if you go to the hairdressers, then that would be to get your hair cut or to have your hair cut, which is like that. It's like a passive structure, which is basically when you have someone do something for you, you get someone to do something for you, like you have your hair cut, you get your house painted because you pay someone to paint it for you. Ah, I'm having my house painted. Same concept, I'm having my hair cut. Vale. I didn't realize that you had your hair cut or that you had got your hair cut. Okay, why? What about this one then? I'm going to put you on the spot. Tell me one in English then with realizar that I have to say in Spanish. A ver si lo puedo hacer yo.
Okay. I have not realized that this was such a hard job.
Okay. Corrígeme, a ver si lo puedo decir bien. So what was it again in English? Tell me again, please.
I didn't realize this was such a hard job.
No me di cuenta de que este trabajo era tan difícil.
Correcto, imperfecto, era. Muy bien.
Happy?
Yeah.
All right, good. I love this because this is interesting. This is why I love what I do. I love testing people and I love testing myself. I love testing my own Spanish. So I love like trying to challenge myself. Cool. So there we go. All right, so we've got realizar would be to carry out, not realize. Y luego realize would be darse cuenta. Interesting. All right. Oh, my God, this next one's hilarious. Are you kidding me? So we've got here, molestar. Mm-hmm. Pues en inglés, you can't say to molest. Because that means, so, what, how would you...
Unless it's happening.
Say what it is. To molest, I mean, yes. I'm just trying to think. Like, to molest for me is almost like... to abuse someone, maybe in a sexual manner, is that fair? Let me see.
Acoso, abuso.
Yeah.
But yeah, we cannot say accuse. We cannot say accuse someone. No. Somebody's accusing someone. No, acoso is not accusing. Maybe another false friend.
Oh, it is another false friend. Oh my God. Yeah. So for me, the definition of molest would be to assault or abuse someone sexually.
All right. In an appropriate way, right?
Yeah.
Not work or...
It does have a sexual sort of...
connotation.
It does. It does, yeah. Definitely. It definitely does, yeah.
But then molestar is such a common word, right? We use it all the time, like, oh, me está molestando, or no me molestes.
Oh,
and
my God.
Say, don't molest me.
Imagine saying, hey, you're molesting me right now. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. I'm not.
So how do we say that? How do we
molestar. In English, molestar, me estás molestando, tío. I would use the verb to annoy, or I also like the verb, which maybe is a little bit more formal, to bother.
Bother. To disturb, depending on the activity you're doing. Like,
wow.
Somebody's disturbing, maybe like noise.
Yeah.
Ese ruido me molesta, ¿no?
I like it. Imagine if that noise is disturbing. Yeah, or if I'm trying to work, I'm trying to concentrate, I'm trying to work. And then, yeah, there's something happening. Que me está molestando. It's like, it's disturbing. It's disrupting my flow. I'm trying to concentrate. Exactly. It's disturbing me. Or And this is interesting. Maybe, you know, when you go to a hotel and like you can hang like that little thing on the, I don't know what it is, like a tag, sign on the door and says, do not disturb.
I always use that example with my students because they're like, what does it mean, no molesting?
Keep on it.
I don't want anybody to come and molest me.
Oh my God, especially when I'm trying to relax in my hotel room.
Exactly.
¿Qué pone en esa?
Do not disturb.
En español, ¿qué pone?
No molestar.
No molestar.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, cool.
So,
epic. Oh my God, I just had a thought. So you know that I love Fuerteventura, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't have a house there yet. Estamos en ello. But I go there every year. Voy todos los años. And I always stay for about 1 month. Un mes en Navidad. To escape from the cold in Cantabria. Cantabria is beautiful, but it gets a little bit cold in the winter.
Yeah.
And what we do, we always rent the same house. We always rent the same house. But what we like to do is at the end of the trip is we like to spend the last like 3 days in a super cool, like nice expensive hotel, in Corralejo, and it's called, Barcelo Sands, I think is what it's called. Oh, me encanta. And when you just said to me about that sign, just say, oh, no molestar, I thought, oh my God, that reminded me, to remind someone, me recuerda, me ha recordado a, está bien, ¿no?
Me ha recordado a alguien o me ha recordado algo. A es solo con persona.
So I could say that thought reminded me of that beautiful hotel that I always go to at the end of my holiday before I fly home. Yeah. Oh my God.
Nice.
It's closed at the moment.
Okay.
Are the hotels open in Gran Canaria?
Some of them, yes. Some are closed. Some are 50% or 30% capacity. We're actually going away this weekend, so I'll let you know how everything looks like in the south of the island. Mainly the south is the touristy area.
And can people actually travel to the Canaries at the moment?
Yes. They only need a PCR test, a negative one.
And that's it.
So
can people travel from the mainland too?
At the moment, I'm not sure because today some restrictions may change, but I think so, with a PCR test.
It's so strange because they said, like, so I can't drive to the Basque country that's like one hour. Yeah, like you're not allowed at the moment. You can't leave. Like, I can't leave Cantabria. Well, not just me. No one.
Okay.
We can't leave Cantabria. So it's
regional
so funny.
Borders?
Yeah, regional borders. Yeah. But then it'd be interesting to know if I could actually fly to the Canaries. That would be funny that I can't drive like 2 hours like in my car
from home,
but I can fly to the islands. It's weird, eh?
Another excuse to come to paradise.
I know. Yeah, I just want to live there. How is everything over there? Is it quite relaxed or is it?
It's quite relaxed. You only need to wear masks outdoors, except at the beach when you're sunbathing or going for a swim, but you can remove it to like eat and drink at the restaurant, so it's pretty okay. And restaurants are only opened outdoors, so they only have their outdoor spaces open at the moment.
That's not a problem for you guys because you have the sunny weather.
Yeah, exactly.
and what about your thoughts for the future? Like, what do you think? Are you guys optimistic about the future? Because I know tourism is so important there.
It is. I think probably businesses are now realizing, putting into practice what we just learned.
Yeah.
They're realizing that they need to focus their businesses on maybe not putting all the eggs in the same basket.
Qué buena expresión. To put all your eggs in one basket. How do you say that in Spanish?
Interesting question. I don't know right now. You got me on the spot.
Poner todos tus huevos en una cesta.
Poner todos los huevos en la misma cesta will be the translation. So,
I like that.
Definitely.
Don't focus all your things or don't focus everything on one thing. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So people are realizing that they need to sort of think about different options.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Cool. So let's go back to this list then. So we had, so it's not molestar, to annoy or to bother. Porque si dices molest in English, eso significa, pues, what was it? Acosar.
Acosar, abusar sexualmente o de manera inapropiada.
Hay que tener mucho cuidado.
Mm-hmm.
Cuidadín. All right. Mm-hmm. What about this next one? Oh, my God. Asignatura.
Yes.
Kyle, what do people say? Signature.
They normally say, like, what do they say? Sujeto or subjeto. Because they think it's like in English, no? Like subject.
Oh, so mi sujeto favorito es geografía.
Exactly. I'm like, okay.
That's amazing.
She meant
subject. Oh my God. Subject. Oh my God.
Or they say also mi tópico favorito, no?
My instead topic.
Of tema. Yeah. Topic. Tema. Yeah, they say mi tópico favorito.
That's so funny. So just like from my experience then, so asignatura, people would probably say then, maybe I've heard people say signature. My favorite signature at school. And I'm like, tu firma favorita. I don't get it. That's funny. So asignatura, subject, and then signature would be firma. Cuidadín. Now, what was I going to say, Laura? What was your favorite subject at school? You're obviously good at languages. You obviously love languages.
Yes.
What about when you were at school? What, English?
Of course. And
really?
Music. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And art. Yeah, I'm very artsy myself.
Cool. Do you still create things, like artistic things?
Normally I do earrings. These ones are not mine, but I do earrings, necklaces.
Cool.
I paint sometimes.
Cool.
I play the piano.
Nice. Epic. Cool.
Yeah.
amazing. My favorite subject at school was PE, physical education. That was my favorite. I love that one. And ya que estamos con este temita de signature, I was really good at sport. So I always practiced my signature for when I was going to be a famous sports person. I was always practicing my signature.
Maybe in the future you would win a surfing competition. I know you love surfing, so who knows?
I wish, but I'm a bit old now, I think. I'm a bit
Never
old.
Too late.
I know, you're right. It's interesting. One of the greatest ever surfers in the world, his name's Kelly Slater. I'm from the United States, Kelly Slater. He is an 11-time world champion, and he still competes at the highest level, and he's 49 years old.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And he competes at the highest level. So you've got to look after yourself.
You need to love what you do. So if you love it, go for it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it could happen. So that's an interesting one. I like that one. That's a good false friend. Vale. The next one I've got on my list now, Laura, is fatal. Okay, fatal. Claro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk to me about this one.
It's quite... So I have a student and she mentioned once... he has somebody who comes to her place to clean, no?
Yeah.
Somebody does the cleaning at her place.
Yeah.
And this lady who comes to clean said, I cannot come today because me siento fatal o estoy fatal.
Yeah.
And so my student asked me immediately, she wrote me like, Laura, what should I do? Like, she told me she's fatal. Like, is she going to die? Because in English, fatal is like, yeah, it's crónico, it's vas a morir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, jolín.
So this is like terrible. I'm feeling terrible. I'm feeling shitty, if you may. Like,
yeah.
I feel bad. I don't feel well.
Yeah, so fatal, podríamos decir que la traducción al inglés es muy malo, mal, terrible, yeah, horrible.
Terrible. Mm-hmm.
Canto fatal. Tell me in English.
I sing terribly.
Very nice. Really good. Okay, so kind of fatal means that death is imminent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but she was concerned.
Estaba toda preocupada, la pobre. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Oh, my God. And what did you say? Oh, don't worry. It just means, like, really bad.
Oh, yeah. She's just having a cold, probably.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. Now, my son is just 3 years old.
Oh.
And he is completely bilingual already, which I'm very proud of.
Awesome.
It's funny because he speaks 100% English with me. And even with his mum as well, he shouldn't really speak English with his mum, but he does because his mum speaks English as well. But really, the rule that we have is with me in English and with his mother in Spanish. That's the way we do it. But generally at home, it's probably about 60, 70% English and then maybe 30% Spanish. And then obviously with his friends and he goes to his friend's house, they obviously speak Spanish. And his favorite sentence at the moment, and this is super funny, his friend is called Iban, or he likes to call him Ibanshi. He says, Ibanshi se porta fatal. And so every day he goes to Ibanshi's house. And then when I go to recogerle, to pick him up, I say, oh, how was your day? How did you have fun? And he says, Ibanshi se porta fatal. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. Fatal.
Kids.
Yeah, I know. So terrible, horrible, just really badly. Yeah. Mm.
Badly.
Tell me something that algo que haces fatal.
Yo surfeo, we say surfear for surfing.
Surf.
To surf is, we got the word in English, no, the verb, surf, and then we added ER, so surfear. So yo surfeo fatal.
Really?
Don't be ashamed of me.
I could say this one. Yo pronuncio la R, como ya ves, fatal. But that's a common difficulty that English speakers have when they're speaking Spanish, that R.
The rolling, yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny because a lot of my students call me Robbie. And I'm like, it's not Robbie. Suavecita la R. It's como la mía. Robbie.
There's a technique that maybe you can try.
For the R in Spanish?
Yes.
Oh, what's that?
So, okay. This is mainly for Germans, but also English speakers could use it, make good use of it.
Yeah.
So basically what you have to do is block the throat.
Okay.
So if you put your head a bit up,
yeah,
you kind of like block the throat, especially for Germans, because they have the here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then just try to get like some air explosion through your throat and the tongue going, and then it's like,
R, perro. El perro de San Roque no tiene rabo porque a Ramón Ramírez se lo ha robado. That's funny.
Muy bien. Yeah, so this technique, some of my students, they do it, especially Germans, to try to avoid, like, positioning the sound here.
Yeah.
Taking it more like,
all right.
At first, it's like an air explosion coming out.
Explosion. No? I'm going to keep
like
practicing that.
Tuffing, but you don't make the here. You make it here.
I'm going to practice that in the mirror at home. But no, that's a good one. Fatal in English, it's not fatal. It's just something terrible. Like you do something terribly or badly or horribly. Bien. All right, nice one. That's a super cool one. God, this list is really a high quality list.
Thank you. I came up with that list from my students' mistakes.
Yeah,
those are the most common mistakes done by my students.
Cool. All right, so, Clara, nota en un examen, sacar una buena nota o una mala nota. So they think that note, they say, oh, note, so they think it's nota.
They say note is nota, or they use grado for nota en español for school. Instead of
grade.
Nota, they say grado, like from grade in English, like grading. Or they say marca, mi marca.
Tienes una marca.
En el examen.
Una marca de ropa.
Porque en inglés, ¿no? It's mark or grade.
Yeah. I'd say in the UK, it's more common to say mark. So I got a good mark in the exam. And then in the United States, it's more common to say grade. So I got a good grade in the exam. Yeah. So marca, which is obviously a marca de ropa, a brand, which would be in English, brand. And then a note. Well, how would I translate it? Like note for me is como apunte, like mis apuntes, my notes, or...
Exactly. Note works for apunte or nota, like written.
Te dejo una nota en la mesa.
Exacto. Apunte is more for school.
Yeah.
Para el colegio, para la universidad, los apuntes.
Yeah, my notes.
Pero, leaving like a note on a post-it, it would be una nota.
Vale. Yeah, so that can be confusing for sure. Yeah. A lot of the times my students, when they want to say, like, que han sacado una buena nota en el examen, they say, I got a good note. And so that makes sense. Yeah. So in the United States, grade, in the UK, mark. So you've already told us that you were good at English at school, or was that your favorite subject? What did you get the worst marks or the worst grades in? What subject?
Maths.
Spanish. Pardon?
Maths.
Claro. Me too. I hated maths.
Las matemáticas.
Para
un
mí...
dolor de cabeza.
Sí, yo, para mí también, ¿eh? Y para mí, las matemáticas se hicieron complicadas cuando yo empecé a ver en la clase más letras que números. Más, joder, estamos en clase de matemáticas, ¿por qué me estás poniendo números? Because, algebra, all that stuff. Oh, my God. Vaya rollo.
Sí.
So,
but don't you agree with me that sometimes languages have some similarities with math in terms of sometimes there's formulas that we apply,
like patterns,
exactly.
Yeah.
Rules.
Yeah, for sure.
Are like plus this equals this.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And I can't, right, I'm going to feel bad now because I can't remember the guy's name. But there's a guy here in Santander, and he has developed, I'm trying to think about his Instagram. I'm going to give him a little shout out. I think it's called Gramazel, something like that. Basically, he's a mathematician I think he's a mathematician. And he has developed an application which combines maths with language, specifically English, I believe. And I don't know the full story, but I think he's won some prizes as well. Cool. Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, it's really cool. So, yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, you could say that there are some similarities.
Yeah.
But no, I wasn't very good at maths. No. So I would say my worst marks or grades at school would probably have been in... maybe history, and probably maths or something like that. Yeah, but I was good at like English. I was pretty good at languages. Did you say like you're either, what is it, the letras or the, what's the other one?
Era humanidades o científico.
There we go. So I'm more like, I don't know, a bit more creative, a bit more about like, a bit more humanities for me.
Sí, yeah. Humanidades.
Mm. All right, cool. All right, so we've got cuidado, hay que tener cuidado. La nota en un examen en inglés, mark or grade, and then note would be, like una nota que dejas para tu hermano, para tu mujer, o una nota, vale, bien. Oh my God, This next one, I've made this mistake in Spanish before when I was learning.
Which one?
The next one. So, embarazado.
Oh, okay.
Estoy embarazado. How many times have you heard that? Have you heard that like a million times?
Impossible, but yeah, I've heard it so many times.
That's so funny.
And I'm like,
yeah.
When he's a guy, right? I'm like, not quite.
Yeah, especially if it's a guy, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe it's a woman, it could work. But I mean, yeah, that one just makes total sense because they're so similar. Embarazado, when really embarrassed, a ver si sé pronunciar la palabra, avergonzado.
Yes,
correcto. Está bien.
Avergonzado, sí.
Embarrassed. And then embarazado, pues tiene que ser embarazada. I don't think anyone could be embarazado. Embarazada, obviously pregnant. Mm.
Yep.
And then, ya que estamos, el embarazo en sí would be pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Un buen embarazo, good pregnancy. An easy pregnancy. Do you have kids, Laura?
No.
Good, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay free. Stay free. Stay free. Enjoy your freedom. Don't do it. Stay free. Nah, I'm joking.
So far, that's the decision, but maybe in the future. You never know, right?
Yeah, you never know. I just have one, and I definitely won't be having another one. I'm too old, and I'm too selfish, too. Yo soy bastante egoísta. Necesito mi tiempo para surfear. Necesito mi tiempo. So, yeah, one's enough for me. I'm very selfish. and people say...
Being selfish, come on.
I think as well, I think for me... that way I can always like just focus all my attention, all my love, all my energy just on my son. And I don't have to, you know, spread that
your
energy.
Way of seeing it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't see it like having kids. It's also terrible for the environment.
It is because we consume.
It is terrible.
Yeah. I like
me
that.
And my boyfriend, we had a look at numbers.
Yeah.
And if you want to be like eco-friendly and you're like green, no, being a green person, you should not have kids at all.
Why? Because they just consume and they just, yeah, that's interesting. There are too many people. There are too many
people. Too many people. There's too many people in this world. So one, it's more than enough. You've contributed to the society.
Yeah. I think
you've done your part. You've done your job.
I think I've still got a lot of work to. I think I've still got a lot of work left just to make sure he's a nice kid and that he contributes positively
to
the world.
Fine.
Yeah, he'd be all right for sure. All right. So, embarazada, pregnant, avergonzado, embarrassed. Yeah, I've said that one before. I think I said that actually to my. My first Spanish girlfriend's mother, so mi suegra en ese momento, I think I said, es que estoy embarazado. Are you sure? That's funny. Cool. Vale, seguimos con la lista. Okay, buenísimo. Oh, I love this
one.
Soportar.
Oh, yeah.
How do you say that in English?
Soportar. To stand.
I like that a lot. Another option could be to bear, which
bear.
Is because insoportable, unbearable.
Unbearable. Yeah, I cannot stand that person.
Perfect.
Es que no he or she's annoying.
No le soporto. Unbearable. I can't stand that person. Very good. So, claro. So people think that soportar is support.
Yeah.
So, what support in Spanish then?
Apoyar.
Claro. So,
apoyar.
Vamos a aclarar esto. So, soportar in inglés would be to stand, to bear, and then apoyar in inglés to support.
Really? To support someone through a rough time.
You support your students.
Yeah, los dos. Hacemos un trabajo, una labor de apoyo. nuestros estudiantes, para motivarles, para...
Yo creo que es importante, ¿eh? Para mí, las cosas técnicas o las características técnicas, digamos, son importantes. Tienes que ser buen profesional, tienes que tener buen conocimiento, por supuesto. Pero para mí, y cuando yo busco nuevos profesores para mi academia, para mi empresa, yo busco más cualidades está bien, ¿no? De la persona, digamos, como cualidades humanas me gusta.
Uh-huh.
La capacidad de conectar con el alumno, la capacidad de inspirar al alumno, como motivarle, apoyarle. Para mí esas cosas son más importantes, porque las cosas técnicas se pueden aprender.
Exacto. In my case, I call myself a language motivator. I'm not a language teacher. You learn with the knowledge that I give you,
yeah.
But my job is motivating you to learn.
Yeah, definitely. 100% making you work hard, pushing you, supporting you. Sometimes meter un poco de caña, a little bit.
Muchísima, exacto.
Yeah, I think that's important. Cool. All right, I like that a lot. So soportar, to stand, to bear, apoyar, to support. Really good. All right, we're going to go with, I think we'll go two more. The next one, again, is a really, really common one. Oh, my God. And this one, probably in my classes. Again, it's all because of literal translation. La traducción literal. Actualmente, actually, mm-hmm. está mal. Actualmente isn't actually. How do you say actualmente in English, Laura?
Nowadays.
I like it.
Currently.
Currently, I love that one. Currently. Actualmente, currently. And then so what does actually mean then?
En realidad.
Yeah. So, like, imagine if someone says to me, Robbie's a Spanish teacher. I don't know, actually, I'm an English teacher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it makes total... Grammar-wise,
it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because we've learned the rules. So, normally, words that end in mente, in Spanish, ¿no? Las palabras que terminan en mente,
sí.
They tend to, ¿no? Tienden a traducirse en español por li, ¿no?
Yeah.
L-Y.
That adverb.
So it makes sense, ¿no?
Yeah.
Structure, but no.
So what do your students say? So your students, if they want to say actually, they'll say actualmente.
Exacto.
So, vale, claro. Vale. So they really should say, no, en realidad, tal.
Exacto, yes. Yeah.
Vale,
mm-hmm.
vale. Yeah.
So what most people don't realize is that these mistakes happen in both students, no? English students, Spanish students, no? People who study English, people who study Spanish, they have the same mistakes with these words. So that's why they're called false friends, falsos amigos.
Exactly. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. That's why when you sent me the list, I said, oh, this is perfect because they work both ways. They work both ways.
Exactly.
Do you know what? I miss my days where I was really focused on... Sorry, I need to stop that pronunciation. I mean, every day people say to me, focus. It's not focus, it's focused. I was very focused on learning Spanish, and I was really like spending a lot of time studying and really investigating and researching things. And I miss those days. Do you know what? I would like to take, not that I really need them. I'm not being arrogant, but like I use Spanish every day. Like, and I've lived here for 13 years. So I've been here for a long time. So I don't really need to take Spanish lessons, but I think I would love to. I would enjoy them so much because, as I said before, I like to challenge myself, and I would just love being in that environment. Like, oh, I know. I'd probably be the most annoying student. Oh, este otra vez. Este. Es que este lo sabe todo.
But you're not. Do you think I know everything in Spanish? even myself as a native speaker, I'm constantly learning. So I'm thinking that, yeah, well, I know everything. So it could be enough, what you said. No, it's enough for like the way you go through the day, the words that you use in your daily routine and your expressions and everything are enough for you. They make it for you. But there's always going to be more and more. Otherwise, you would be a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist.
Yeah. You can always improve, even your own language.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant. Like,
and language is always changing.
Also, yes.
Like 20 years ago, the verb to Google something didn't exist. Or Google it. What do you mean, Google it? What do you mean? Like 20 years ago, that didn't exist, you know? So, yeah, language is always evolving, you know? But I would love to take Spanish classes, and I would just
I would love to teach you. You'd be a fun student to have in class.
Yeah, and I'd like to get that feedback as well. You know, oh, how can I improve? Oh, what do I do wrong? Oh, well, you know, give me that feedback. I just want feedback all the time. That's cool. All right, so there we go. So actualmente, vale. So actualmente in English, currently or nowadays, está bien. Just be careful that pronunciation. A veces me dicen no, nowadays. It's not nowadays, it's now, nowadays. And then kind of actually in español sería en realidad, vale. And the last one on this fantastic list, sensible and sensible. Mm. Mm-hmm. Incluso es que las dos palabras se escriben igual. So sensible, what's that in English then?
Sensible is sensitive.
Exactly.
A sensitive person.
Are you a sensitive person?
I am, definitely.
I could say, so we could use sensitive in that way. I could say that I have sensitive skin as well.
So,
mm-hmm. Definitely, we could say that as well. So then, sensible, how would you translate sensible into Spanish?
Sensato. Sensato.
It's one of the most common false friends, one of the most common mistakes I've ever seen in my time in this field of work. Este campo de trabajo. Campo laboral, mejor. Field of work, yeah, campo, field. Probably one of the most common ones I've seen since I've been working in this field. Claro, and it's, it just makes sense because they're spelt the same. So I could say I'm a sensitive person, but I'm not very sensible.
I think I could put myself in that sentence too.
That's cool. Well, there we go. I really, really enjoyed that. That was super cool.
Same, likewise.
Okay, why? So, false friends, really common. It's important for you to identify these false friends, identify them and eliminate these mistakes. Try not to make these mistakes. Making mistakes is part of the process. What I think my job is to help you eliminate the mistakes. And the only way to eliminate the mistakes, in my opinion, is by making them and repetition and practice. Like, for example, I always had problems with traer and llevar. Oh my God. Every day I used to say traer and my wife would say llevar, chaval. And I'd say llevar. Y mi mujer me decía traer.
I have a tip for that.
What's that?
So you probably make the mistake because in English both words are to bring, right?
Could be, yeah.
They normally work as bringing, to bring. So piensa que cuando tú vas, ¿no? El verbo ir, cuando tú vas
llevar
a un lugar, tú llevas. Y cuando alguien viene a donde tú estás, la persona viene, trae.
Qué guay.
Y ese es el truco.
Está muy bien. Está muy bien. Qué guay. So, vas, llevas. Claro. And the way I eliminated that mistake was through, a través de la repetición, decir mil frases de forma correcta. Y ahora es como automático. It's just automatic, you know? And that's what I say to people. I say, just the more you speak, just do it again and again. It's like the same. If you want to master something, si quieres dominar algo, la repetición es fundamental. ¿Por qué Rafa Nadal es tan bueno? Pues porque ha pegado no sé cuántas pelotas, ha jugado desde pequeño. Es como no piensa cuando juega, no piensa. Es que algo automático. Pues lo mismo con los idiomas. Yo no pienso cuando hablo. Es algo automático porque he hecho el trabajo, he estudiado, he practicado, he hablado, he dicho miles de frases. You know? So for me, what I always tell people is, hey, if you want to eliminate a mistake, first identify it, and then repetition will help you eliminate it.
Make it stick also and not make it again.
Claro.
And it's interesting what you said about Rafa Nadal. So they train physically, no? It's physical training. They train their muscles. Well, our brain is another muscle.
Certainly.
So, yeah, our brain, we need to train our brain. So that's why I love the fact that you have called your gimnasio de entrenamiento.
Let's Speak English
Your
gym.
Oh
my God.
I love it.
Mi nuevo proyecto. Llevamos 2 meses en el gym. Va súper bien, ¿eh? Es una pasada.
I love it.
Estoy muy contento.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah, we're really happy. Yeah, really happy with that. And I've got more courses coming out soon. I've got more. I'm working hard. And stay tuned. So, Laura, it was a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining me. You're a legend. And so it's La Casita de Laura on Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook,
And just before you go, like the name La Casita de Laura, that suggests to me that people can go to, I mean, it's probably a bit different now with COVID, but people go to your house and stay at your house, and it's almost like an immersion in Spanish.
At the beginning, yes. Now we moved. Also due to COVID, the situation is very inconvenient. It's not really, before people used to come to my home, to mi casita for lessons, and that's still going on. Well, that will continue happening as soon as the situation with the pandemic ends. But at the moment, we're doing online. Before it was in person here at my home.
Yeah.
A little casita.
Super cool, though. I love your background.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And right now online. So if your students, they know they have maybe English speaking friends or French speaking friends, I don't mind. I can teach with English or with French or with Italian. I can teach them Spanish. They can send them my way and I will help them.
Amazing.
Improve their Spanish.
Check it out, La Casita de Laura on Instagram and Facebook. And super cool, super fun. And Spanish is one of the most beautiful languages, so useful. It's spoken around the world, also in Latin America. For me, it has been one of the best, like, honestly, like, seriously, learning Spanish is one of the things that has given me the most happiness, the most enjoyment, has changed my life. And look at where I live. And if I didn't speak Spanish, I don't think I would be able to live here as well as I do and have the life that I do here in Spain. And not just that, I can connect with people from all around the world in Latin America as well. So for me, it's been one of the best things I have ever done with my life. One of the things that I'm so proud of. And so do it. If you want to learn Spanish, check it out. La Casita de Laura. All right. Well, take care, Laura. Big love, big respect. And I hope to see you soon in the
soon.
Canaries. And take care. Thanks
anytime.
A lot. Take care, Laura.
Bye-bye.
So check us out on Instagram. Let's Speak English. Don't forget to follow me on YouTube. Don't forget to follow me on TikTok. I'm big on TikTok. And if you want to sign up for my classes, the Let's Speak English Gym, hay un enlace en mi perfil, hay un enlace en la descripción del vídeo. Así que nada, un abrazo fuerte y nos vemos pronto para más inglés útil para el día a día. ¡Yup! Wash, 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 wash